Welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report in exile, produced by Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. In the first part of today's program, we present a rally at Union Square to protest the war at home and abroad. The rally was sponsored by the Global Sweatshop Coalition, protesting the war, globalization, sweatshops, current attacks on immigrants and civil liberties. The hundreds of protesters assembled at Union Square in New York City and marched south to the Immigration and Naturalization Services Detention Center at Barrack Street, protesting sweatshops along the way. In the second part of this show, we'll present another demonstration at the detention center focused on the more than 1,000 secret detentions of immigrants since September 11th. This demonstration was sponsored by New Yorkers Say No to War. But first, on to Union Square, and first with Christian Lemoine for the Global Sweatshop Coalition.
Sweatshop Coalition, along with the other groups organizing this demonstration. Thanks everybody for coming out. This year, the world is facing not only sweatshops, but also the crisis and this war. And we've turned out today because we want to point out that it's not just a terrible thing that happened on September 11th. And we want to point out that it's not just a terrible war. And we want to point out that there's a link between all these things that are happening. There's a link between the war. There's a link between globalization. There's a link between sweatshops. And we are here because we want to protest against these policies. I want to first call out to a comrade who's going to speak about this.
Hi, my name is Emily Wu Yamasaki, and I'm from Radical Women. I'm going to speak for about a minute and a half in English, and then my compañero here, Sisto Paez from the Freedom Socialist Party, which is our sister organization, will speak in Spanish. We really want to thank the organizers for putting together this very important rally today, which does link the issues of the war to all these other issues, as Christian was saying. Immigrants and people of color who live here in the U.S. are no strangers to the Yankee government's use of war, racism, and repression. As a woman of color, as a lesbian, as a radical activist, long before September 11th and the present war against Afghanistan, had I seen and experienced the kind of daily war that our country's rulers wage against the oppressed majority here at home. Unlike what officials and the media say, this is not a new war. On the contrary, it is only the most recent phase of the U.S.'s long-standing agenda of capitalist globalization. For example, we know that this war is not really about improving conditions for Afghan women. It is about U.S. economic and political domination in the Middle East. It's important today that this rally and march focus on the connection between the war and the growing attacks on this soil, growing attacks on immigrants, women, radicals, among others. We cannot let the son of a Bush use the so-called war against terrorism as an excuse to tighten repression against immigrants. We don't even know exactly how many immigrants, Arab and others, have been detained since September 11th. And under the most recent executive orders by Bush's cabinet, the government doesn't even have to give a reason. History shows that immigrants, socialists, anarchists, and anti-war dissenters are always the first targets of government witch hunts. Members of the labor movement who think that supporting the war will make them safe should be reminded that the net can easily be cast wider to include labor in this witch hunt as well. The biggest terrorist is the U.S. government. Our common enemy certainly has a multi-pronged agenda, and that's why only a unified movement can stop the war. We also oppose all other anti-terrorist bills and forms of legislation that threaten our civil liberties in the name of fighting terrorism. We must defend immigrants, Arabs, Muslims, and all anti-war allies from attack. Unite to stop the war! El pueblo unido jamás será vencido!
jamás será vencido.
The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated.
The people united will never be defeated.
No war.
No war.
No war.
No globalization.
No globalization.
No attacks on civil rights.
No sweatshops.
No sweatshops.
No attacks on immigrants.
No attacks on immigrants.
No sweatshops.
All right, now, folks, we're gonna march down 14th Street, down 6th Avenue, and we're gonna have another rally in front of the Gap that's on 6th Avenue and 4th Street. So let's march down and let's chant and let people know what we feel. No war.
No war.
No sweatshops.
No sweatshops.
No war.
No war.
No sweatshops.
No sweatshops.
No war.
No war.
No sweatshops.
No sweatshops.
No war.
Hey, would you like to say a few words for WBIX and why you're here?
Okay.
Okay, and I'm here with?
William Pleasant.
And what brings you to the demonstration today?
Well, I oppose this war. I think it's a threat. I think no matter how it's cut, it's only going to escalate and turn into an ecological and political disaster in Central Asia.
What about the war at home?
I think that it's allowed an excuse for the right wing in this country to take away even more of our civil liberties. So they come for Arabs and Muslim people now. Who are they going to come from next? In terms of workers' rights, the situation is that you see a consolidation of global capital such that, basically everybody's wages are decreased and depressed. So we're going to have third world conditions here in New York pretty soon.
Yeah, what would you say if that son of a Bush were here right now?
I can't say that on the air.
Sure you can. This is over the internet.
Okay. Well, my thing with Bush is that Bush has committed a strategic error, not only for the vast majority of people in this country, but even for his own class, because there's no way that you can put out the fires that started by this war. It'll continue for decades, and it'll totally destabilize Central Asia and Southwest Asia and North Africa for decades to come. And put himself in a position of essentially igniting a holy war. It's almost like Helter Skelter with the neo-Nazis in this country. You know, Bin Laden and those guys, they wanted this. This was their desire. So now they've got it.
See, you could say that over the air.
Yeah, yeah. I had some other things on my mind.
Tell me the other thing.
Well, the situation is that I feel very, very threatened. I feel threatened for my children who are out here in this demonstration. You know, like, what kind of life are they going to inherit? It's going to be poisoned for years to come. That's how I feel.
Okay, well, thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate it. And I'm with
Bill Goodman from the Center for Constitutional Rights.
Okay, let's pick off one piece of the problem here, and let's talk about the attack on civil liberties. I know it's a big problem. What do you think are the most important points to bring up?
Well, that there's been a complete derogation of responsibility or an attempt by the current administration to take over the job of the judiciary and make decisions such as when to conduct essentially warrantless searches without approval by courts, such as when certain people will be subject to these so-called military tribunals that are going to take over certain forms of injustice in this new period, and at the same time that the administration is attempting to pack the federal bench with rabid reactionaries and right-wingers.
Can you expand on these new tribunals that Butch is contemplating?
My understanding is that as I've read the executive order, he'll be able to pull people from anywhere in the world, including within the United States, if they're not a citizen of the United States and are accused of domestic terrorism, to try them in front of these military tribunals and then to sentence them and dispose of them in some fashion without any review and without any public hearing whatsoever.
There's also over 1,000 people that have been rounded up and are in some sort of detention right now. Can you tell us what's that all about?
I wish I knew what it was all about, except that it is a huge assault on democratic rights, and that at some point, if this were ever to get in front of some court, and the court having enough courage to step forward, this would be recognized as such, and I think that it will sooner or later get in front of a court. Whether or not the courts are able to do something about it is a very different question, or will do something about it, I should say.
Okay, let me just bring up one other question.
Sure.
We haven't really talked about the internet and the kind of surveillance that's going on there.
Well, I believe that the things that the Attorney General claims he will be able to do with regard to internet surveillance, and the things that he will not do, such as he'll be able to trace the pathways for communications but not scrutinize the content, are just unrealistic. We know it's not going to happen. Anyone who believes that they can trust the FBI to not look at certain information when they're involved in an investigation of this sort is more than naive. It's just blind to reality. That's one thing, internet surveillance.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we've only skimmed the surface, and unfortunately, there is a lot to be covered, but I'd like to thank Bill Goodman and the Center for Constitutional Rights for opening our eyes just a bit. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Plantation workers in Haiti who toil under horrible slave-like conditions to make orange extracts for the Cointreau company. The workers are on strike and they're demanding living wages and decent working conditions. And we're asking everybody to reach out and let Cointreau know they have to do the right thing. That's why we're stopping here in front of this liquor store. Shame on Cointreau!
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 Shame on Cointreau! Shame on Cointreau!
The people united will never be defeated!
The people united will never be defeated! The people united will never be defeated!
The people united will never be defeated!
Free trade means switch up labor, say no to fast track! Okay. Free trade means switch up labor, say no to fast track! Free trade means sweatshop labor, say no to fast track. Free trade means sweatshop labor, say no to fast track.
Bomb him to the Stone Age.
Wrong place. Free trade means sweatshop labor. Sweatshop labor. Free trade means sweatshop labor, say no to fast track.
Let me just get in a quick question here.
Surely.
Why does free trade mean sweatshop labor?
Because under the rules, what they call free trade, which isn't at all free trade, it's only the freedom of money to go and make companies in countries where they can get the cheapest labor possible. It's bringing down the labor costs. And if a country doesn't do that, They'll move the companies to countries that have the cheapest labor, which brings down the labor market. And then another country will compete with that for cheaper labor, and then it keeps on going down. This has happened with Nike. Nike was in Korea. And then when they had a unionized shop, they moved it to Indonesia and China for cheaper labor.
And what is Fast Track?
Well, Fast Track is ability for Congress to pass a law which gives the president and the administration the right to trade negotiations, and Congress can only vote it up or down. They only will have 20 hours of discussion over thousands and thousands of pages of trade negotiations. This is basically anti-constitutional because it's really the responsibility of legislature to check on these, what's in these trade negotiations. And there's no way that you can do it in 20 hours.
Okay, for this course in Political Economy 101, we have to thank
Ralph Klaiber.
Thanks much.
Struggle for workers' rights, a key struggle. Right now, we know we have to stand together to defend our rights. Here's the brother.
Solidarity.
What's going on? I bring a message of hope today, a message that we all probably need, right? Has everybody heard about the Charleston 5 case? All right. Let me hear victory!
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 January of 2000, Local 1422 of the International Longshore Association were in a protracted labor dispute with Nordana Lines for using scab labor. 600 policemen were called to the port where these brothers were picketing. They beat the protesters, and then they turned around and arrested five of them for conspiring to riot. Indeed, the state of South Carolina was declaring war on the union of Local 1422. 1422 is a 99% African-American local in a state with the least unions in the country. To me, it's a pretty simple question, right? The powers that be, they cultivate a climate of fear like we have now, a climate of racism, and a climate of union busting. The real question to me is, how did we win that struggle? The history of our country has been anti-worker, anti-people of color. That's nothing new. But what did we do in South Carolina to free these brothers? We built a national movement. Every major city, we had a committee for the defense of the Charleston Five. We had rallies. We had November 14th was the first day of the trial. We had thousands of people ready to be in the streets.
Yeah.
In addition to that, what we sorely need now and what we had in this defense case was an international solidarity movement. We had brothers and sisters around the world pledging to close the ports. No business was getting done on November 14th, the first day of their trial. And it's no coincidence that it never went to trial. The AFL-CIO prioritized this event. We had 5,000 people in the city of Columbia on June 9th to protest this gross violation of these brothers and sisters' human rights. To me, this is a total victory. And it illustrates now, when we need it more than ever, that the people united will not be defeated. The workers united, the people of color, the people of conscience united will never be defeated. The way we won then, and the way we are gonna win now, is by exercising the very rights that Ashcroft, Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, all those people want to take from us. We're going to use those same rights, our freedom of speech, our freedom of assembly, our freedom to dissent against heinous government policies. We're going to use those and we're going to win. So I bring you today a lesson that I have learned and that we all will learn. It's a lesson of hope that in the midst of the detention of innocent immigrants, innocent people of color, in the face of military tribunals and legalized racial profiling, in the face of jingoistic patriotism for a purely imperialist war, in the face of an economic stimulus plan which is merely a giveaway to the rich. We will win! The people united will never be defeated!
The people!
This struggle and by exercising the very rights which they're trying to take away from us. Peace!
El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. By the way, folks, do we know why we're here today in front of the Gap?
Yeah!
Because the Gap uses sweatshops!
Right.
Shame on the Gap! Shame! No war!
No war!
No sweatshops!
No sweatshops!
No war!
No war!
No more!
No sweatshops!
No sweatshops!
Let's move on! Over there.
I'm holding, this is little baby W. Bush.
A little baby Bush.
Baby Bush. And he's got his little cowboy boots on and his cute little aqua little cowboy suit. And he's missing his cowboy hat, but he will have one soon. And he is here to support the war because he's seeing all these people are against the war. Because he knows that if the war goes on, he will get many more profits, much more profit than he already has from the oil and natural gas industry that he's very much part of, as is his whole family.
Okay, what do you think of the little son of a Bush?
Well, I mean, me as the woman who will shop till she drops, I think it's just wonderful. I want to continue the American way of life, and that means that we have most of the control of the oil. We need the control. We need products. We need lots of products, and shopping makes you feel good. That's why I do it.
And speaking of the woman who shops till she drops, why don't you describe your get-up here?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in a Wild Wild West outfit. Actually, it's a little crossed because I have my nice year 2000 shopping bag and fairly modern Stinger missiles in the shopping bag. So I'm kind of a cross-pollinated shopper.
Okay, and you're also dressed out in red, white, and blue.
Of course. Red, white, and blue. I've got the flags, I've got the ribbons.
Okay, and would the other you, who perhaps exists on other days of the week, want to comment on the issues before this demonstration?
Oh. Yes, I mean this lady with her getup, it was to try to have a visual merging of bringing up the issue of the war and then sweatshops and global capitalism. And the thing I thought of was the U.S. is the biggest arms dealer in the world. That's big profits getting those munitions factories going. And for all the daisy cutters and cluster bombs that are dropped, they're going to have to make more or even more high-tech kinds of weapons. That means bigger money. So I was thinking of that merging. And also the whole notion of being a consumer society, which is limited. That can't sustain itself. And it always means zapping the resources of other places and exploiting workers here and all over the world.
Well, it's women like you who make me wish that I did TV. But since this is radio, I want to thank you very much. And do you want to give our audience your real name or not?
Yeah, my real name's Haydeen Anderson. My fake name is Dorothy Do-Right, shopper extraordinaire.
Okay, and I think we'll be seeing you on other demonstrations.
Yes.
In the past and in the future. Thank you.
Hi, how's it going, sir? I'm with the Global Sweatshop Coalition today. I'm the spokesperson for the event.
Yeah, what I'd like to know is the connection between all the issues here today. The war, imperialism, sweatshops, immigrants' rights. What brings these all these issues together?
Well, just to set things out from the first place, we feel the need to say to folks that we are outraged by what took place on September 11th here in New York. And that's why one of the reasons we're so angry that we see that those events are being manipulated by the Bush administration and the pro-corporate interests that they represent. Since September 11th, we've seen corporate bailout packages, we've seen economic stimulus packages for the airline industry at the same time that those industries are firing thousands of workers. We've seen mass incarceration of immigrants. We've seen rollbacks in civil liberties, things like John Ashcroft talking about secret military tribunals. At a time when George Bush is saying that we're fighting a war against those who hate freedom, now we think that's blatantly hypocritical. As far as we're concerned, this war in Afghanistan is not a war against terrorism. This is a war that's motivated by corporate greed. On the same week that President Bush commenced the bombing, the Taliban government was actually offering to turn Osama bin Laden over to a third-party country. Now, we find it very odd and very suspicious that with a peaceful resolution in sight, one that would have put Osama bin Laden out of Afghanistan and out of association with the Taliban, something that President Bush supposedly was interested in, the president passed up that opportunity to instead lead us down a course that's led to civilian deaths from the anthrax attacks and has led to the death of Afghani civilians through this brutal bombing campaign. We think there's a hidden agenda, and we think that's the interest of the corporation Unocal in building an oil pipeline running through Afghanistan to access the Tajik oil reserve, the single largest untapped oil reserve left on planet Earth. We know very well that President Bush was elected by oil interests. He's an oil man, as is Dick Cheney. We know very well that one of the biggest things he spent his campaign doing and his presidency doing is pushing for the drilling of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, fighting against the Kyoto Protocols that would prevent future greenhouse gas emissions and ultimately impact on the petroleum industry. And we see this war as just a continuation of President Bush representing the kind of interest that put him in office and that he's been loyal to since day one. We see this as part of the global sweatshop economy, where the United States, through its military interest, installs dictators, suppresses civilian populations, and puts in place the lowest possible common denominator for the workforce of those countries, low minimum wages and busted unions through direct suppression and human rights violations. And that affects all of us here at home in America. People who are seeing our jobs go overseas because the companies that we work for are pushing those jobs to places where they can pay workers sub-survival wages for pennies an hour. So this is about the fight for workers everywhere.
Thanks a lot. And I've been talking with?
My name is Adam Weissman.
And the group you're with?
We're with the Global Sweatshop Coalition.
Tell me just a bit about the Global Sweatshop Coalition.
Okay. The Global Sweatshop Coalition is an alliance of human rights, social justice, environmental, and labor rights organizations who have come together to call for justice for workers everywhere. We support on-the-ground struggles by workers fighting against the toughest repression and under the toughest conditions to stand for their rights and fight to believe that they should be able to stand for their rights without fear of repression, firing, and violence.
Okay, thanks much.
Thank you. And you're with?
WBIX, Building Bridges. In front of the House of Detention on Barrack Street near 6th Avenue.
In the Middle East, in the small country Qatar, was a demonstration against World Trade Organization. When was the summit is there? The sweet shops, his factories working, is not just cover this continent. Today is overseas, including Middle East. You can go to the Arab Emirates and you see they use the sweet shops, the cheap labor workers, what majority is poor people from Filipinas or from Sri Lanka or from Bangladesh or from other neighbors, Arab countries. You can find the same thing in the Jordan, what is used the labor for poor people from the refugee camps in Amman and in other places. An example, Israel is the best example in the main center of exploitation against the poor people, especially the Palestinian people. What is not just steal his lands and homes, but use him like workers with very cheap salaries and high rate discrimination. Here in the United States and abroad, for that is very important, the unity of us. In the question of the immigrants, I think it's the right to the people in diversities of race, color, or religions to be and defend the rights of civil liberties. Today, after September 11, you can see the effect in the Arab and Muslim communities for the threat of the government and the question linkage of the secret evidence and create fear in our community. We have to blame the system because come to be a toll of racist and militaristic machinery of exploitation and discrimination. Together, we can stop this exploitation and inequality of civil rights. No to the war, no to the globalization, no to the sweet shops, no to attacking immigrants, and no to the attack in the civil liberties. The people united is never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated. Okay. We're here today in front of this building. This building is the Immigration and Naturalization Service Detention Center for Manhattan. I'm told that actually the accommodations here
will not hold all the people that the INS and the federal government has swept up in the hysteria since September 11. A month ago, the government was admitting to holding 1,200 people under administrative detention. This is detention where they do not allow people communication with the outside world. They do not allow anyone to communicate with the people that they've locked up. They will not even say whether they have people locked up or not. So what you have here in New York City is you have families who have relatives who may have disappeared in the World Trade Center, but they're hoping that they've been locked up in Varick Street. I mean, it's a sad commentary on the world we live in today when people are hoping that their family's being held in a concentration camp rather than dead. This is an outrageous violation of civil liberties. This is like taking the Constitution and setting it through a shredder. There is no more due process. This is the end of due process. If they can hold people without charges indefinitely, without even saying that they've got them, think of what could happen to us. Right now, they're saying, okay, well, it's okay because we're just doing it to immigrants. But we know how this stuff goes. First it's the immigrants, then it's the residents, and then it's everybody. So we've got to fight this. We've got to continue to be fighting for the rights of due process in this country. We can't let them continue with this kind of crap of secret tribunals, administrative detention, and total abrogation of any constitutional rights. So we're here today to protest the holding of what some people say now maybe as many as 5,000 people. They won't even say how many they've got.
Let's go ask.
Let's go ask them!
You're listening to Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report in Exile, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Now on to the demonstration at the INS Detention Center on Varick Street in New York City to protest the more than 1,000 secret detentions of immigrants since September 11th with New Yorkers Say No to War. Mimi Rosenberg reports.
To the chant, "Why are immigrants doing time, not accused of any crime?" approximately 150 demonstrators from New Yorkers Say No to War converged on the Immigration and Naturalization Service in Lower Manhattan to demand to know what has happened to the hundreds of people who have been detained as part of the Justice Department inquiry after September 11th. Who are those being held? How many are in custody? What charges are they being held on? And if there are no charges, why haven't they been released or cleared? Demanded the coalition of activists that comprised New Yorkers Say No to War.
I'm with Heidi Durrow, who is with New Yorkers Say No to War. Heidi, explain what the demonstration is about.
Well, what we're here to do today is draw attention to the issue of the hundreds of people who are being detained in relation to the September 11th investigation. The overwhelming majority of those people being detained are immigrants. And what we want to highlight today is that the government has not given us a full disclosure about how many people are being held, where they're being held, who they are, what their charges are. We know very little information, and we're concerned that people's civil liberties are being violated. And we want to draw attention to that. And we also want to say that as New Yorkers, we're concerned that people have full access to lawyers, attorneys in this process. That their rights are guaranteed, that they have full due process, and that we're concerned that immigrants may be subject to abuse during their incarceration, and we don't even know who's there or what their charges are, so we don't know what's happening to people.
Well, obviously you said you don't know what's happening with people. Do you have any indication yet? We know one Pakistani man actually died in custody, but aside from that, do you have any indication of any abuses or any people who are deprived access to attorneys or any other deprivations of due process rights?
Well, anecdotal evidence, which is, there were stories reported in all the major newspapers from the LA Times to the Washington Post and the New York Times, have pointed out that some people have been released who were in custody, and there have been allegations of abuse in jails, county jails in particular, which are contracted by the Immigration and Naturalization Service. They have a long history of abuse, and because we don't know where everyone is, it's pretty difficult to track if people are getting adequate food, adequate housing, or if they're being physically or mentally abused. So what the primary point here today is that the federal government needs to give full disclosure about this investigation. Full disclosure by our federal government is what makes us safe in this country, is what democracy is about. It's not about secrecy. If we're really about combating terrorism and ending the kind of violence that was perpetrated on September 11th, what we need to say is that we need to know what's going on, we need to know what the government's doing, and make sure that everyone's rights are protected.
If somebody comes up and says that there's a reality now that there's a loosening of condemnation of profiling against people who are followers of Islam, people who are Muslims, people who may be from South or Central Western Asia, and we need to begin to balance public safety against individual civil liberties. How do you explain that? What do you say to them?
I say that I don't think that our safety is contingent upon certain people's rights being taken away. And part of what I think we have to find out in terms of profiling is that if we know how many people have been detained and we know how many people have been released and we know what the nationality and ethnicity are of those who have been detained, then we might be able to make a statement about profiling. But until we have that information, we can't do any of that. And I think that for all of us to be safe, what we need is a democratic process, a fair and thorough legal process. And that's all we're asking for today.
And Heidi, what can you tell us about the groups that have put this demonstration together? Who's part of New Yorkers Say No to War?
New Yorkers Say No to War is a new group that formed after the attacks on September 11th. It's primarily a group of artists, academics, activists, people concerned that a cycle of violence is not perpetuated after the attacks, but rather we work toward peace, a political process that tries to end violence and not continue it.
Well, I'd like to thank you. I've been speaking with Heidi Durrow in front of the INS Center as the demonstration commences of New Yorkers Say No to War.
1,000 Arabs locked away! This ain't justice, USA! 1,000 Arabs locked away! This ain't justice, USA! 1,000 immigrants locked away! This ain't justice, USA! 1,000 immigrants locked away! This ain't justice, USA! 1,000 immigrants locked away! This ain't justice, USA!
I'm here with Risha, who works with the National Organization for Women. And what brought you to the site of the INS Center in Lower Manhattan?
As a South Asian, I'm very appalled at
immigrants being detained without any notification for up to a week, and I feel like the anti-terrorism bill is absolutely taking our civil liberties away from us. So I'm here to show New York that we don't agree with this, and that the South Asian community, although I shouldn't say I represent the South Asian community, but as a South Asian and as someone who looks Arab, I feel like I should come out here and show my support to people who are being detained inside.
Have you personally had any experience with bias or profiling or stereotyping in any way since September 11th?
Actually, my really close friend got jumped right after the attacks, and he was beaten up really fiercely. And also, just walking down the street, I noticed a lot more looks than I used to before the attacks.
Risha, where did this attack happen, and what condition is your friend in?
Yeah, it happened in Brooklyn, just the day after after September 11th, and he was beaten up pretty badly, and he was so afraid that he left the city and went to Connecticut and kind of hid in his family's place for a while because he felt so threatened to come back to the city.
How long have you been in New York?
I've been in New York in and out for the last 8 years.
And are you a student?
Yeah, I am a student.
And what do you think needs to happen in the wake of the WTC tragedy in terms of really assuring that people do have due rights and due process rights and democratic values are maintained in clearly a heightened atmosphere of a constriction of civil liberties?
I feel like the authorities should take more precaution in who they detain and how they detain, and I feel like the anti-terrorism bill should go under scrutiny by American public, because it is so profoundly and so obviously stands right against our civil liberties. I understand the fact that we do need to be careful right now of more terrorist attacks, but I feel like that we could do it better. We could do it more carefully. American people are, you know, we stand for freedom, and we should keep that in mind constantly as we discriminate against people who might look Arab, because not all Arab people, not all Arab people are the terrorists, you know. So.
And one of the things is interesting is you're here not necessarily representing, but as a member of the National Organization of Women. What would their particular interest be in coming to protest the detentions of now certainly over 1,000 people in this country?
First of all, as a feminist and as someone who's working with a feminist group, I feel like feminism is being used as an excuse to get support for the war. We stand against that. And secondly, it's well known that any form of war affects women and children the most. And so as a feminist, I stand against war because women and children are going to be most affected and most marginalized and usually are in the worst conditions. And the people who are being detained right now, there are women behind them, you know. There are women who are at home who might not feel like they can go out in public because their husbands or brothers or, you know, are already being scrutinized, and they're afraid. Muslim women are afraid to come out. So I think as feminist, I feel like I have a responsibility to be out here.
Risha, thank you.
Indefinite detention. No to indefinite detention. No to indefinite detention. No to indefinite detention. No to indefinite detention.
One, two, three, four. Say no to Bush's war. 5, 6, 7, 8. Say no to racist hate. 1, 2, 3, 4. Say no to Bush's war. 5, 6, 7, 8. Say no to racist hate.
All right, let me grab you. You're right. With Refuse and Resist.
That's right.
And I know that you've actually done work around Mumia Abu-Jamal.
That's correct.
What brings you? You are Clark Kissinger?
Yes.
Clark, what brings you to the demonstration in front of the INS Center? Is there any correlation that you see between the oppression of Mumia Abu-Jamal and the demonstration that's being held today around the detentions of tens of hundreds of people?
Well, yes. Actually, one of the first things that happened after September 11th was a crackdown on political prisoners in jails across the country, ranging from Father Philip Berrigan to ex-Panthers like Sunday Adeokolu. They were put in administrative detention. They were put in lockdown, separated from other prisoners, not allowed to see their lawyers in some cases for 2 and 3 weeks. So that the attack on immigrants that's going on here is actually part of a much broader attack on civil liberties in this country. And, you know, they're basically saying to us, well, you have the right to ask questions, but you don't really have the right to question. And these roundups that we've had here, now over 1,000 people being held in detention without their names being released and so on, these are some of the biggest roundups we've had in this country since the Palmer raids in 1919 and 1920, or the internment of 110,000 Japanese Americans during World War II. And President Cheney has now come out and said, look, this is the new normalcy.
And what do you think needs to happen? How do you help the American public as a whole understand the need to balance, if you will, national security and maintain civil liberties for various individuals at this very tense time in New York?
Well, I don't think that the World Trade Center got attacked because civil liberties had run amok in America. I think that what underlay that attack was U.S. foreign policy, and if people want to become safer in this country, they have to think about modifying United States foreign policy rather than trying to turn the United States into a gated community at the international level.
Do you think it's a bit cavalier just to harken back to U.S. foreign policies or U.S. oil in the Gulf states, etc., and not take a more specified stand in relationship to the actual atrocity that occurred at the World Trade Center on 9/11?
Well, what happened at the World Trade Center in 9/11 was a great crime. Thousands of innocent people were killed in that, and they joined the many thousands of others of innocent people who have been killed all over the world. What we don't need now, this planet doesn't need another unjust war. That people think that somehow we can provide safety for the American people by turning domestically into a police state and by having the richest country in the world go out and bomb the poorest countries in the world, I think they're horribly mistaken. People have a right, however, and are certainly justified in being afraid. But the question is, who is it that's actually put the American people in harm's way?
Do you see in between some of the lines, even in the New York Times, the kind of weakening of the resolve that we must continue the bombing in Afghanistan? Do you think that the American people do have a longer recollection about the war in Vietnam and are concerned about 25 at least military advisors being placed in the Philippines and ground troops in Afghanistan and ongoing fierce bombing?
Well, you know, there's this book out called The Greatest Generation, you know, talking about the veterans of World War II and so on. I think the greatest generation was the 60s generation, who actually did so much to transform life in this country and internationally for the better. I think we ought to draw on all of those positive resources, but to the extent that there's wavering in the government now, I think it's actually primarily motivated by their fear that two of their most important client regimes, that is the military junta in Pakistan and the royal Saudi family, could collapse. Both of these countries have been put in a very precarious political situation as a result of the U.S. war in Afghanistan. If the Northern Alliance were to come to power in Afghanistan, that would sandwich Pakistan between two hostile countries and a population that is generally opposed to the military government. And the Saudi royal family really has very little popular support in Saudi Arabia or any place else in the Middle East. The longer it goes on, the more they are destabilized.
Clark Kissinger, a member of Refuse and Resist, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
What do we want? Release detainees!
What do we want?
Now!
What do we want?
Release detainees! Now!
What do we want?
Release detainees!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Release detainees!
When do we want it?
Now!
I'm standing here in front of the INS Center in Lower Manhattan with two young brothers, and they are?
Julian. And my name is Rex.
And where are you both from?
From New York. I'm in New York City.
Well, what brings both of you down in the middle of the day today to this demonstration?
Well, I just think that, you know, while the U.S. is saying this is a war for freedom, you know, thousands of people are being locked up with no access to due process. You know, it's akin to disappearances that happen, you know, in Chile and Argentina. And it's just a very dangerous erosion of civil liberties of people living in the U.S.
Many people are concerned about the legislation that's been passed, supposedly anti-terrorism legislation that gives a lot of freedom for police to do whatever they want to with very little oversight by the judges. And there are a lot of problems with the detentions, where we have very little information about the number of people or the names of people or whether they're able to get legal representation right now.
Well, it's not still the psyche of the normal passerby to be profoundly concerned by the more than 1,000 people that have been held. Is there a particular reason that you have this interest about what you've described as people who are virtually disappeared?
I think all Americans should be concerned about this. The U.S. is a country that's made up of immigrants, so I think, the rights of immigrants are human rights, and Americans should be concerned about them.
Right, I think it's because just concern for human rights and what's necessary under international law. And I think there are other reasons that other people aren't concerned about it is just they're preoccupied, and they should be concerned about it, and they will be concerned about it. They're just preoccupied for now.
And what about your own communities? Have you had any negative experiences or comments as people who have been in this city since 9/11 occurred?
Not in my communities, but I've heard of a lot of South Asians who've been the victims of bias incidents or prejudice against them and how they've had to cope with it.
And what about yourself? Do you know anybody who has been detained, or have you experienced anything personally relative to the attack of 9/11 or after the attack of 9/11?
I don't know anyone personally who's been detained, but I know of people that have been attacked. And definitely all kinds of communities are under attack now. The line about who is American and who isn't is just narrowing in this country, which I think is very scary.
And again, your name is?
Julian.
And yours?
And my name is Rex.
Thank you for being with us.
Why are immigrants doing time? Not accused of any crime. Why are immigrants doing time? Not accused of any crime. Why are immigrants doing time? Not accused of any crime.
This has been Building Bridges, Your Community and Labor Report in Exile, produced by Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Building Bridges is regularly broadcast on WBAI in Exile, internet radio at www.wbix.org on Tuesday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can reach us by email at knash@igc.org. Archived special programs can be heard on our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org. For Building Bridges in Exile, this is Ken Nash in solidarity.